whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We are very fired up to get on the phone lines and bring in our friend Mr. Rondé Barber, Hall of Famer, Super Bowl winner. Rondé, what's up, man? Thanks for making time for us.
What's up, boys? How you doing, man? Y'all ready to come down to Florida?
Yeah, we started the season just like this, Rondé.
Yeah. Hey, man, I knew I'd see you again. I just didn't know it was going to be this soon.
We still got like 6 inches of snow on the ground. We're very ready to get down to Florida.
Yeah, my mom told me that the past couple of weeks have been pretty brutal. Actually, my wife and daughter had to go up there the other day, and they got stuck in the airport for a couple hours. So I know what it's like, man. You know what? It'll be nice for you guys to get down here. Florida's having a cold streak right now. It's about 55 degrees at night.
I'll take that.
I'm good with it. That's no problem.
It's about 32 during the day here.
Right.
Yeah. Rondé, obviously this is a huge matchup. I mean, I think it says a lot about both these teams and maybe even more so the star power of Jaden Daniels that this is the Sunday night game.
Yeah.
Just on the surface, what do you see in this matchup?
Yeah, I think Sunday night wants it because it's where they started. You know, this is a nice way to turn, you know, full circle for both of these football teams, having played week one. I mean, obviously the narratives, you know, write themselves when you get a wild card matchup like this. You know, when I look at, you know, what the Bucs were able to do this year, I'm pretty amazed because they're pretty one-sided. And I mean that in fact that this was the Baker, you know, Bucky Irving. If you guys were watching from afar, just following the NFL, you knew the types of years those two guys had. Obviously, Mike Evans hit his milestone as well. But they were so good on offense, yet so very, very inconsistent on defense. And, you know, whereas they put in, you know, work to win some games, you know, they won the Saints game week 18 to secure their playoff berth. But if you watch the first half of that game, you're frustrated with the Bucs defense. It's kind of been that way the whole year, but they've been boosted so much by, you know, what they've been able to do on offense. And then I kind of feel like it's the same way with Washington, right? Your rookie quarterback, Terry McLaurin, you know, the balance that offense has produced. And then it took a while, right, for y'all's defense to start, you know, living up to the same billing. And I think once the Commanders did that, once y'all did that, you know, there's a reason why y'all finished with 12 wins, five wins in a row. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Tampa finished their season 6 out of 7 wins, but, you know, they went on the road and lost to Dallas. But you always get that mantra, play well at the end of the season. You want to be playing your best football in December. And of all the wild card matchups, this is, I think, one where both teams are, you know, definitively doing that going into the playoffs. This would be a great one, I think.
You mentioned the defense. Is it anything that concerned you when you think about Jaden Daniels and his offense against that defense?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously Tampa's defense with Vita Vea, Kalijah Kancey, who you guys probably don't have a real good handle on type of player he is, and Yaya Diaby are all great run defenders, right? But having played him week one and having, you know, studied NFL, if you don't contain that man, it's a different ball game. So my concern would be that first off, but he's also turned to a great passer, you know, in year one. I think he'll only get better in that regard. And I know it feels like it starts with his legs, but I understand that he's a damn good throw of the football, and that's where the Bucs' weakness is. And mostly in the secondary because they've had so many injuries. Antoine Winfield has been out for over a month. Christian Izian, who was his backup, is out for the season. Jordan Whitehead, another safety, went on IR 2 weeks ago. So you're playing with like third and fourth level safeties. Jamel Dean, the other corner, has been out for a good couple of weeks. And so you just look just on paper, right? Don't you have to put on the film? Just look on paper where the Bucs are struggling. And it's in the secondaries because they've had injury. They've had a lot of inexperience in there with these young guys playing. And Jaden Daniels is a good matchup for the Commanders in that regard. So if you're asking where I'm worried from a Bucs perspective, 100%, it's Jaden Daniels throwing the football against this secondary.
Specific on some of the injuries, though, I heard Winfield's tracking the right way, and you know they didn't face Kancey in the first matchup. He didn't play, I think, till like week 5 or something. Can you give me just Winfield, and then tell us a little bit about Kancey, because the fans here didn't get to see it.
Well, yeah, you'll notice Kancey right away, but I'll start with Winfield. He had a knee injury, and I think it was an MCL. Don't quote me on that, but I think it was an MCL. And he was probably getting close to coming back, and you know he didn't play the last 4 games of the season, and so I think the idea was that once they if they made the playoffs, he would be able to fight through whatever he's got going on and play. And so he practiced yesterday. I think they went through a walkthrough. I'm not sure what type of practice they went through. And it looks like he is going to play. And that'll be a huge boost. Because as you guys know, I mean, he wasn't having the type of year that he had the year before. But a year ago, he was the best DB in football, which was then rewarded with a huge contract. His ability impacted the line of scrimmage in the run game. He's obviously a great pass defender. But he brings us different energy to the back end of the Bucs defense. Then you notice it when he's not in there. It's completely noticeable how utilitarian of a player he is. He's a blitz. Yeah, he's a great tackler. He's good in coverage, and he brings energy that's not necessarily there. Now with Kalijah, 2 years in a row he started the season. While y'all didn't see him week one, he had a hamstring injury and he missed 4 games. But since he's been back, the rise in production. Right, not just how they play, but the rise in production from the interior defensive line has been marked. Right, he led the team with 7.5 sacks, having missed 4 games. Vita Vea gets more one-on-one opportunities, and that's different, you know, because he's a nose tackle. He's a down nose tackle, but if you give Vita a one-on-one matchup, he's destroying a guard or a center who's just going to ragdoll him and get to the quarterback. So he had a career year this year as well. He had 7 sacks. And then Logan Hall is another guy who had his best year as a pro in his third year. So the strength of our defense is right there. Obviously, you can talk about Levante David. He's just like Bobby Wagner. You know, you're getting out of him, consistency or whatever. But for his Bucs defense, it starts up front. And you'll notice the impact plays that Kalijah makes mostly. Quickness, speed, you know, that short space power that, you know, the great defensive tackles have. He has all that.
All right, Rondé, I'm sure you played against...
He's an interior guy, right? Sorry, B.
I say Jay, I say he's like an interior guy, not an exterior guy, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're odd front, 3-4, so he's Vita's the nose. And you have two technically defensive ends, but they're really like tackles. Logan Hall on one side, Kalijah Kancey. Then you have Yaya Diaby and Anthony Nelson that play the edge. You know, those are those stand-up outside linebackers. So he's an interior player. He's listed as a DN. And you'll see at times when they get into their 4-man, their even fronts, they'll line up outside. He's kind of like Chris Jones in that regard, you know, Kansas City, mm-hmm. where they can kind of put him anywhere based on situation. You'll see him lined up on the edge and when they get in some of their 4-man looks and give him opportunity to rush on some tackles too. But he's different, you know. He's a star in the making is what he is. I think in the next year or two, he'll be one of those guys you'll be talking about, one of the best in the league at the position.
Well, I'm sure you have some guys that you love to play against, you didn't really like, just like Lattimore and Evans, okay? How do you prepare for a game like that? These two, listen, they don't play football. They play WWE.
Right. You know, I don't think I ever went to a game quite that angry, you know? Like, you're like you're going up against your best friend in Madden or back when we were playing, you're playing Street Fighter or something.
Yeah.
And you know, you just wanted to kill them. You're just like, they take that to 1,000 level. I don't know what started it originally. I remember the game where Lattimore was, you know, going off on Jameis, and then Mike came over and just leveled up, and then that turned into a brawl. And it was like, from then on, it was like, you know, it's a prerequisite at some point in the game for them to fight. You know, they're going to get fines. You're going to hope neither one of them gets kicked out because the matchup is such a great matchup. But, you know, when I was doing games, B-Mitch, I always, you know, tried to label two or three premium matchups, right? Uh-huh. The ones that if things are going slow or, you know, I need a point of emphasis, you could say this is the premium matchup today. Well, in this game, across both sides of the ball, either offense, defense, or both teams, this is the premium matchup. I know that Marshawn's coming back from a hamstring injury, and I think he was full participant today. I think I saw that right before I got on with you guys. So this is the one that you circle, right? You put a star next to it.
Oh, yeah.
Then you underline it, and then you highlight it, and you say we're starting the conversation with this matchup, and it should be great. I mean, obviously your defense, that Commander's defense is markedly improved since he came in, and I know you. You got some young guys playing in their back end, but having a guy like that be able to, you know, change up some things in Vitt's defense makes it so much easier to play. And I'm pretty sure he's going to be following 13 around all week, so this should be awesome.
That
get
really
your popcorn ready, I guess. Huh?
Yeah, I mean, totally.
Yes.
Talking with Hall of Famer and Super Bowl winner Rondé Barber, knows a thing or two about playing good corner. Rondé, when you were, I mean, you have an extensive NFL career, right? Did you ever get to face a rookie quarterback in a playoff game?
Ooh, that is a good question. I don't remember facing one. Not our Super Bowl run. Not the year 99. No, I don't think so. I know we played. No. No,
I mean, it's fairly infrequent for it to happen, right? So
yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah. I don't think I have. I mean, I think I would want to. You know, just obviously, you get to the playoffs, and if they're starting a quarterback, they've got snaps under them, right?
Yeah,
and they have the trust of their team or whatnot. So, you know, the nerves of playing in the NFL, that's probably gone at this point. So, if you're talking Jaden, that's probably gone. You know, the big thing will be the moment. How do you capture the moment if you're a rookie quarterback? And if you're playing against a rookie quarterback, how do you, you know, try to inflate the moment? How do you try to make it feel even bigger than it is on him and see if you can force him into mistakes? But I mean, your guy, I mean, he's, I mean, besides the fact that he looks like Shaq G, B-Mitch, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. yeah. Oh, hop today.
Yeah. Besides the fact that he is the coolest cat ever, he's so, you know, poised under pressure. I don't think him being a rookie is going to factor into this game at all. To me, the way that you guys were able to win so many close games in the last month and a half of the season, I mean, it speaks to the maturity of this kid. I mean, we were watching that Atlanta game. Tampa collectively was watching that Atlanta game because we needed them to lose, right? We needed Atlanta to lose. And, you know, that last drive, watching the way he, you know, manufactured that touchdown to win. Yeah, I mean, he just took over. He said, all right, I'll put it on my back and I'll do it. And he did it. And it's pretty awesome to watch, man, knowing he's got a lot of years left to be even better. And as you know, B-Mitch, Washington is my team. I know I play in Tampa and I live here.
Oh yeah,
but I grew up in Virginia. I'm an old school Washington fan, so I kind of root for him. But you know what I'm saying?
I got you.
I love that you say that, Rondé, because now that you said the Shaq G thing, I can't get you look like MC Hammer on crack. I can't get that out of my head. But two, Brian and I kind of started talking about this morning. This team, this season, I think, and maybe you can speak to this because I think your mom's still in the area. Like, it is reminded this city and this fan base how much they love this team.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, 2 years in the new ownership, right? And you know, get Dan Quinn as a head coach. You changed the general manager, who was a great guy. I knew him when he was on John's staff, Lynch's staff in San Francisco. And he just knew that he was going to do great things. And it's amazing that he's done it. you know, so quickly. But just the way the roster changed, the way the attitude changed when the roster changed, and the type of man that Dan Quinn is and the type of leader that he is, this is a team you can get behind, right? And again, I grew up in Roanoke, Virginia, man. I'm a Washington fan. I remember the Hogs. I remember the Super Bowl championships. You know, my mom lives in Maryland now, just off the Beltway in Maryland. And my best friend down here in Tampa is from Virginia. We watch Skins, or, you know, Commanders, I'm sorry, when we're not watching Bucks football. And it's a great time to be, you know, kind of wrapped up in what this team has been able to do in year one under this new staff. And, you know, they got a road game, right? They're a 12-win team, got to go on the road against a hot offense. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a good game. There's no, so circle all the way back to the first question you asked me, Sunday Night Football, this should be this game, right? This is going to be one of the more exciting games, balanced game, you know, two evenly matched teams. It's going to be fun. I can't wait to go.
It's amazing how when you got all the right people in the right places, how quick stuff can change. Because it took 20-something years the last time they never got right.
right. 24?
It's been a long time, man.
Right. I mean, that being said, y'all were in the playoffs in 2020 and gave Tom Brady's Bucks, you know, a run for their money, right? I know Brady threw two interceptions that game.
Yeah, we bragged about that for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, they also got in at 7-9 and won a terrible division. Yeah. There have been little pops over the years, but nothing like this. It feels so much more sustainable. Just feels real. Rondé, I'm curious, talking with Rondé Barber, Hall of Famer, Super Bowl winner with the Bucks, but still loves the burgundy and gold. I think the AFC is pretty top-heavy between Baltimore, Kansas City, and Buffalo. One of them is getting out of the AFC. The NFC feels totally wide open to me. I'm curious if you see it similarly.
I would. I mean, Jalen Hurts will come back. I mean, Philly for a while felt like inevitable in the NFC just because of how well Jalen was playing, or how well Saquon was playing with Jalen, you know, just holding on, playing well. But that team always seems to have a little bit of turmoil. I don't know why.
Yep.
I don't know why they can't get themselves right. But they're a 14-win football team with that turmoil, right? Yep. And they have so much talent on offense, and their defense, you know, is the best it's been in, you know, who knows how many years. I mean, that's been their weakness for the past 3 years in the playoffs. But I look at in the NFC North, and obviously there's three teams coming out of that North division. Detroit, if you would have asked me a month and a half ago, I would have said one of the best teams in football. But since then, their defense has kind of tailed off. And, you know, if you can get some pressure on Jared Goff, you can make them a little uncomfortable, right? Like, so of those three teams, I mean, I'm not terribly scared of any of them, you know. I know they can score points, but other teams in the NFC can score points. Tampa's fourth in points, and I think you guys are right there. I know we're either four or five or three and four in points scored.
Yeah.
So
Washington's fifth.
It's not that, right? It's not about who can score more points. It's about who can win on the other side of the ball. And if you ask me, and I'm not biased at all because I like Brian Flores, that Minnesota defense is the one that can turn it on. And if you can get you know, that kind of helter skelter type scheme, that's the best way I can describe it. I saw them play in London. I was over there when they played their international game. That defense is wild to watch, and just how challenged he puts on his players, and watch them go thrive in it. That's the team to me. That's like, I know they got killed in the week 18 for the division, for the division and the bye. But I mean, I'm telling you, these guys are a good football team all the way around. And Sam Darnold's had an amazing year. Obviously, JJ's an All Pro again. Got probably the best offensive line in football. So if you ask me, that's where I'd start, and then the rest of them are just, going to be a battle royale, man. It's going to be fun.
All right.
Absolutely. Rondé, while we're doing the interview, I got a text from a buddy. He said, Rondé's a great dude. I played Flip Cup with him at UVA.
I'm sure I beat
him. I'll let you confirm or deny.
That's taking you back there, Rondé.
Yeah, man. That threw me back. I don't lose in Flip Cup, man. I don't lose in that game.
I like that. I love that. Hey, Rondé, thank you so much, man. Really appreciate
you, brother,
your time.
Man.
Hey, B Bitch, I'll see you tomorrow, man. Right, bring the A game, bro.
I'm gonna try. I'm gonna try.
All right.
Have fun out there, boys.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rondé.
Yeah.
The great Rondé Barber. I think, dude, the way he breaks down football, like his explanation, that's why I wanted to ask him a follow-up on Kalijah Kancey, who's clearly a really good player.
Yeah.
But, like, Rondé just gives you the nuts and bolts, the serious football stuff.
Yeah.
But he doesn't over-talk it to try to make it seem more complicated than it is. Really, really good.
Yeah.
Always appreciate his time. Coming up next, we will have Maryland Governor Wes Moore making wild card picks, baby. Should be fun. Don't go anywhere.